You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the National Party.
Welcome back to The Wire. The Waitangi Tribunal recently found that the government's plans to reinstate a rule requiring all Māori wards to go to a local referendum, including those implemented while the rule was not in effect. Introduced in 2001, the required referendum was cited by many as a significant barrier to Māori representation in local government. Before 2021, there were three councils with Māori wards or constituencies. However, after the requirement was removed, 34 territories and 7 regional councils have Māori wards or constituencies, increasing Māori representation and strengthening the overall decision-making process. This Māori wards legislation follows a slew of similar legislation surrounding Māori representation and the role of Te Tiriti in politics, with the current government continuing to remove protections and ignore advice or summons from the tribunal. In my weekly catch-up with the National Party's Katie Niman, we talk about the Māori ward legislation and the government's relationship with the Waitangi Tribunal. So just to start us off this morning, what are the government's plans surrounding the Māori wards?
We have really committed to having local referendums established so that communities can have their voices heard. And, you know, that's something that all three members of the coalition parties agreed to or campaigned on at least last year and have agreed to in the coalition agreement. So for us, it's really important that the communities have their say. And, you know, that's something that we are going to make sure it happens. So we'll introduce a bill to restore that, the ability for the communities to have a direct influence. So that's obviously making sure that local government does have a referendum locally to have their voice, people's voice heard. So look, some councils will, some councils may not, but it's important that the public have their view because when the process was done last time, that was not the case.
After the referendum requirement for Māori wards was removed in 2021, there's been a significant increase in the amount of total wards and their spread across the country, with people calling out the referendum requirement as a significant barrier to Māori representation in local councils. Is this increased Māori representation a bad thing in the eyes of the government?
Oh, look, not at all. And this is the point. It's the fact that we need to have a democratic process. And this is what we are hoping for. We heard the views from a lot of people that the decision was made around them or for them without their consultation. And, you know, just an example of Napier at the moment, where I live, they've put out a consultation document to ask the public what their views are on the makeup and which wards would be, or the makeup of, you know, how many Māori wards there would be. And whether they combine other wards. And so it's important for people to be involved. And that's what they want. That's what we want them to do.
On that, the Waitangi Tribunal has recently concluded that the plans are a violation of the government's obligations under Te Tiriti. How would the national government or the current government respond to those claims?
Well, look, at this stage, all I can say is that we acknowledge that the report has been released and that we will consider the findings. But haven't made any comment on that at this stage.
Looking at a urgent claim filed last year with the Tribunal regarding the Pai Order Disestablishment of Māori Health Authority Amendment Bill, quickly rushed through, which unfortunately meant that the Tribunal had no longer had jurisdiction to look at said bill, is the government making a habit of ignoring or avoiding the Waitangi Tribunal?
Look, not at all. But, you know, there is a place for what it is that they're doing. It's very important and we respect it wholeheartedly. But, you know, I think the most important thing to consider is what the role of the tribunal is. And so we respect that, we consider it, and we treat it with that regard.
On the role of the tribunal as well, ACT leader David Seymour earlier this year suggested that the Waitangi Tribunal may be past their use-by date and that perhaps they should be wound up for their own good. This was in response to a tribunal summons regarding a third policy from the current government, the planned repeal of Section 7AA. Is David Seymour suggesting that the Waitangi Tribunal might be at risk under the current government?
I cannot speak on behalf of David Seymour. And no, that is not the government position.
When responding to these comments, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon called the statements ill-considered. He did, however, indicate that the government would be looking at the role of the tribunal moving forward. Could you give any indication as to what that might look like for the tribunal in the future?
Look, that would require me to have a crystal ball, and so no, I can't, as much as I'm sure you'd like me to. And I think that all of those decisions will be made in due process with great consideration.
So are the government's plans surrounding the tribunal, do we have anything to work off of? Because currently it looks, at least to the public, that the government is ignoring their advice, or at least not paying as much attention to the tribunal as previous governments might have. So should we work off of that, or should we assume something else moving forward?
Well, look, I think it's exactly as you said. It might look like, it might be a perception, but that's not the case at all. We consider everything that the tribunal reports on with great respect, and so I think that we'll leave it at that. It's perhaps a perception issue, but I certainly can't comment on anything following that, on how you may or may not perceive or take what is to be produced by the Waitangi Tribunal, or how the government would respond to that.
At the time of the recent tribunal claim surrounding the Māori wards, it was mentioned in the claim that there was little discussion of treaty obligations or analysis of treaty issues in the cabinet papers. Should we be, I guess, avoiding discussion of Te Tiriti in discussing an issue that is so important to Māori representation, especially in our politics?
Well, you know, what is it that you're specifically discussing? I mean, if we're talking about the removal of Section 7AA, you know, the most important thing in that circumstance is that the well-being of children have to come first. And we know that the Section 7AA was a measure introduced to address the treaty, which is exactly what you're talking about. But the minister, as soon as they became the Minister for Children, has been rightly concerned that Oranga Tamariki, as a result, were focusing more on the child's cultural needs rather than their immediate safety and stability and well-being at the same time. So it's important for us to make sure focus isn't taken away from the best interests of the child. So, you know, again, it comes back to the point that we've always been making, that it is needs first. And, you know, we absolutely acknowledge, in the same respect of health, that of course there is, you know, in some cases, Māori and Pacific are having disproportionate needs. But of course that's what we address first. And so if that's the kind of example you're looking for, I'm happy to provide that.
Right, but in addressing the needs first, suppose we look at a need for Māori representation in local government, which has been discussed, was discussed. The reason for the 2021 amendment was that there was such a difficulty in establishing Māori boards and establishing a Māori voice in local government. And following the establishment of more Māori boards, we've seen results not just for Māori in representation, but also for councils more broadly. And I guess it's unclear why we would be reversing that process if Māori wards have been so successful.
Well, look, I think that it's a perfect example to make that it doesn't mean that the wards are going to be taken away. It just means that people feel that democracy is in play, and that is exactly what hasn't happened. There are many parts of this that people need to have something to say about, whether it's, you know, as I said in Napier, whether it's the makeup, you know, as a result of bringing in extra Māori wards. Are we increasing the number of councillors we have? Are we maintaining the same size of local government, in which case which wards reduces numbers? You know, those are really important decisions for people to make, because you are talking equally about everybody's representation. And so by having a referendum, it is not to say that it's now no longer going to happen. You know, if it is that it's received great improved results or whatever it is that people are experiencing around the country, I can't speak for every local council, then there's nothing we should be afraid of. I think it should confirm what it is that we believe. But it's most important that the people are involved, because that is what local government is there for. And there are some, you know, complicated factors with some communities in terms of where those wards are, and who it is that they're representing. And so I think that's really important for us to make sure that we can be certain that communities have been involved in the process.
If the government is so concerned with referendums and establishing public support for policies, why not, I guess, have a referendum for every policy proposed by the current government, particularly around controversial policies such as, and I don't want to go into it too deeply, but the Fast Track Approvals Bill was certainly controversial among members of the public. I guess if we're saying that there should be referendums around all of these council decisions, shouldn't there also be referendums around controversial government decisions?
Well, I think you're confusing controversial with constitutional because, you know, while something might be controversial, it doesn't mean that it's constitutional. When we're talking about the makeup of people's representation, there needs to be a referendum. It would be like us deciding on a four-year term over a three-year term by, you know, a round table with MPs, or likewise changing from an MP to single transferable vote without going to the public. If it is talking about what people's vote is going towards, then the people should be deciding. That is the difference.
That was the National Party's Katie Nimmin speaking to me about the upcoming Māori ward legislation and the government's relationship with the Waitangi Tribunal.
That was our weekly chat with the National Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.